Hello, fellow Kentuckians and other friends, and welcome to a new edition of my Old Kentucky Podcast. My name is Robert Connie, and joining me this week is nobody. I'm again by myself. Jasmine said she'll be back next week. She told me a couple weeks ago that she needed two more weeks off, and here we are, and week two of those two additional weeks. This is a point in time when the session is really going. I think we have... Today is kind of the last normal day to pass bills, and the next 2 days are supposed to be for concurrence, but of course, you know, there's no real rules except for that the veto period is going to start right after that, and then basically after that we kind of have what we have. The governor has the ability to veto things after that without much repercussion, so the legislature has just a few days to kind of pass what they're going to pass, and that's probably what they're going to do. I have a little bit of information today about the stuff that kind of passed yesterday, but of course today, yesterday, and the rest of, I think today, like today, tomorrow, and really the rest of the week are when crazy things are going to start happening. So be sure to pay attention to the newspaper, the radio, Twitter, whatever you want to do to keep up with things as over the next couple of days. And then, of course, we will recap it all next week. Thank goodness Jasmine's going to be back so that we can go over all that. I do have a few legislative updates that we're going to get to at the end of the show today to kind of just talk through a few things that are happening. But I wanted to spend the bulk of the time I had today to talk through the JCP. GPS bus situation, which looks likely to change in a meeting tonight. So let's go ahead and kick off by talking about that. Now, if you haven't been paying attention to it, of course, the JCPS busing situation has been in the news for a few years, and I feel like a boiling point was kind of reached early this school year when it was about 10 o'clock at night before the final student was dropped off from the bus. You know, the transportation scheme had changed substantially at the beginning of this school year. There's a lot of issues around timeliness and the quality of busing in the city, which had been deteriorating for years. Many children were not getting to school on time on their bus. Many students were waiting forever at depots or at their stops. And it was just, things were getting really bad, and JCPS made a big push last year to kind of find a solution to the busing issues, and it kind of fell on flat on its face to start the year. There was a lot of scrambling that happened, and you know, the school system ended up taking like almost a week off trying to fix the busing situation to get kids to school, and I think it was basically a week before kids got back. And of course that caused the Republicans in the Kentucky legislature to really point the finger at JCPS, saying it was a disaster. They're, you know, I don't know if it's totally fair, but it does feel sometimes like it's their goal to basically eliminate JCPS or to kind of change it into something that we would completely not recognize. And this certainly gave them a lot of ammunition to start talking about that. Of course, the school year was before the legislative session started, but it was just a few months. And so that was, of course, a hot topic when people talked about things that would be on the agenda for this legislative session. So the solution that seems to be favored by the leadership at JCPS to solve the problems that we saw at the beginning of the year is to cut busing to magnet schools. If you're not from Louisville or you know you're not familiar with it, you don't have children or whatever, magnet schools are they're special schools that take applicants from across the city to attend specific programs at different schools. And, you know, I think a lot of times when we talk about magnet schools, we think about things like Manual, which has the math, science, technology magnet, or the youth performing arts magnet, and a couple of other very highly specialized magnets within DuPont Manual High School, or maybe Mail High School, which is the traditional program and very strict uniforms and very strict teaching type of educational format or whatever that many parents do appreciate. But there are lots of magnets across the city. I know that Fairdale, I believe, has like a construction magnet. So, and I think it's one of the most requested schools in the whole city because so many people want to do something like that, and it doesn't require a college degree, etc. And you know, I think that there's all kinds of magnets across the city, not just those high performing, basically like all the smartest kids in the city gang up in one school or whatever. There's a lot of these magnet programs across the state or across the city, And yeah, this solution provided by JCPS was to basically cut busing to children who don't live within the reside areas of these schools. The solution was promoted by Marty Polio and the JCPS administration as the only viable way to ensure buses arrive at school on time and get home at a reasonable hour. And according to the Courier Journal, this looks poised to pass with at least three school board members as solid yeses on the plan, with at least one more probable yes. However, like, kind of once that reporting popped in, there were a lot of prominent voices across the city, especially from Black leaders, which came out in opposition to the plan to cut busing to magnet schools. The Louisville NAACP and the Louisville Urban League said that the plan would lead to further segregation in West Louisville. I mean, basically, you know, those kids could go to the reside school that's close to their home or the school in the East End where they had, had an option to go to, but then basically would not be able to attend magnet schools without trying to get there themselves, which is, of course, a lot more difficult when you're coming from the West End to those kinds of places. And also, just the demographics of the city say that the people that live out in the West End have a harder time, having reliable transportation than people in other parts of the city. That's kind of the way things go. There's a lot of systemic and long-standing reasons for that reality. But cutting magnet school buses would mean that those magnet programs would basically only be attainable to people who could provide their own transportation, which are typically people with much more flexibility in the work arrangements or who are more well-off and can afford, private transportation for their children. So it's not too surprising to me that the NAACP and the Louisville Urban League came out against this. I think that one of the more interesting things is the NAACP at least had kind of given their support to the new student assignment plan that came out, I think it was last year, which basically one of the things that student assignment plan did last year was make it so that children in the West End could stay in the West End if they wanted to. We had been working really hard to integrate schools and kind of had dependent on children in the more Black populated areas of the city to do that. We were moving Black children from their neighborhoods to places like Ballard and Eastern and Fern Creek and Wagner and places like that across the city, which are schools in the East and South End. It's a very long bus ride for those children. And by giving children the option to stay there, that allowed for students to not have to ride the bus for such a long period of time, but did increase segregation. And so the NAACP, they gave it, a task or like a tentative or tepid kind of endorsement to the deal, saying that it would increase segregation, but that the trade-offs were not so bad or good enough that it would have their support. But this new plan, the cutting the magnet transportation in conjunction with the new student assignment plan, I feel like was a bridge too far for many of these Black activists in the cities for I feel like good reasons. So, that's kind of the situation we're finding ourselves within. We have these people in the city, the school board, who seems poised to pass this, but we do have this kind of mounting opposition. So Corey Schull, who is both, he's a Black man and he's also the chair of the JCPS school board, he attached to the meeting a report on what went wrong at the beginning of the school year to this week's meeting. So this was something that the JCPS had commissioned, a report from a consultancy about what had gone wrong, and it wasn't due for several months, but Corey Schull got a hold of it and attached it to this week's meeting. And this report, which is quite long, I have not read all of it, but I have read the reporting on it. It doesn't appear to be great for JCPS. The write above it at the Courier Journal indicates that the report really hammers JCPS for its efforts in transparency or kind of lack thereof, as well as its inclusion of stakeholders when making a change to the student assignment plan and its dependence on that alpha route, that AI routing or like data science routing software that they had utilized in order to try to figure out the best way to get students bused across the city. To me, though, the worst quote in the report is this, quote, "Some staff reported being ignored when they sounded alarms. When interviewed regarding activities leading up to August the 9th, multiple staff noted a negative environment in the central office that discouraged questions and collaboration. Post-incident, some employees noted that they feared retribution for providing Prismatic with information. These communications faults appear to be the problem of corporate culture, unquote. So just in case you didn't know what some of those things meant inside of the quote, the incident would be the beginning of school when children weren't dropped off until 10 p.m. Prismatic is the organization that's writing this report. And basically what this quote says is that despite, you know, commissioning this report, the corporate culture inside of JCPS, especially among administrators that don't necessarily work at schools, is such that they are not encouraged to cooperate with getting to the bottom of these problems, and were in fact kind of, you know, dissuaded from doing that, which is kind of bad, kind of scary, kind of not great, especially since such a bad thing happened, and it did seem like that, you know, the school board was trying to get it fixed or get it at least diagnosed. It's clear that there aren't a lot of good options for transportation in JCPS, and it's really been frustrating for everybody to watch this situation unfold. People like me who went to school at JCPS and remember the bus coming to pick us up and taking us to school before it started, I think look at the situation and are like, why can't we just do that again? And of course, there's a lot of reasons. This isn't something that happens in a vacuum. It isn't something that happens for no reason. And it is truly very frustrating for the school administrators, for the parents, for the students, for the teachers, for the school board members, for the high-level administration that's tasked with solving these problems. This is a truly, truly frustrating situation that has been very just kind of dug in, recalcitrant. It defies solution a lot of the time. But, you know, by the time you hear this, the vote will likely be held and we will probably know the result of the situation. The main thing I want to say, though, is that cutting services is not a solution. Cutting services is a capitulation. I think it's shameful that we're cutting off opportunities like this, and I think we can and should do better, and that our kids deserve better. They deserve buses to magnet schools. There's a way that we could do this. We have done it in the past, and just because it's hard doesn't mean we can't do it. We can do the work to solve this problem in a better way. I really do believe that, and I understand how much effort, how much time, how much work has gone into trying to solve this problem with very little result. But at the end of the day, I just don't think it's good enough to say that our solution is going to be to cut services. I wouldn't accept that from anybody. I wouldn't accept that from the federal government. I wouldn't accept that from the state government. I wouldn't accept that from the local government, and I won't accept it from the school board. They're going to vote on it. They're probably going to pass it, but I'm going to be disappointed. And that's just how it is at the end of the day. We can and should do better. We can and should provide transportation to all students to the school they want to go to. And that transportation should get there on time and should get them home at a reasonable hour. This is not an impossible problem to solve. It's just a very hard problem to solve. We can do it. All right. Before we move on, I just kind of also want to say the state government has really been coming after JCPS. I wrote in my notes for a year. That's not true. They've been coming after JCPS forever. It just seems like more steam is picking up, and they really are gunning for JCPS and wanting to turn it into something that it's never been before, to turn it into something that's, like a more conservative, more split situation. And I mean, when we look at the ideas for solutions in terms of what the Republican legislature wants to do, they're very bad, they're very scary, they're very segregated, they're very problematic in many, many different ways. And they have the power to make changes to JCPS. They have the power to do some really brutal things to JCPS. And this situation just gives them more ammunition for their perceived grievances. I don't know how you can look at the fact that you can't bus magnet kids to schools and be like, well, the solution here is to bust up schools and make them a lot more segregated. But that is what they're going with, and that's what they're going to go with. And they can complain enough about the things that have happened in order to make the end result look the way that they want it to look. And I just think that solving the problems in a way that nobody can look at it and say that the problem isn't solved is really the only real way to take away that ammunition from the state government, and I really hope we get back to that soon. Or else we're going to end up with much more state government help, which I don't think we want. All right, that's all I want to say about the JCPS busing situation, which is likely resolved by the time you're listening to this, so that is that. All right. I have a couple of legislative notes I wanted to talk about. Of course, I think the big chunk of next week's show will be catching up on all of the craziness that happened towards the end of the legislative session before the veto period. But here's what's happened since we last talked, and it will be a smaller update than we will see next week. One of the first things I wanted to mention is that the legislature passed a bill protecting IVF services this week. That's something we've talked about in the past. I wanted to at least mention it. So HB 159 wasn't originally thought of as an IVF bill, but instead of sort of like but the bill was kind of instead like a sort of like indemnification for healthcare workers, kind of saying, you know, you can't be charged for doing your job. And, you know, that's kind of how the IVF situation arose in Alabama. And therefore, the argument is being made that this bill's passage means that IVF is now a protected procedure in Kentucky. So, you know, Cassie Chambers Armstrong spoke out about this and made a really good point that to say, like, the best way to protect IVF is to write a bill that protects IVF. But absent that, this is better protection than healthcare workers had before around that procedure. So I'm glad that it passed, even though we could have done better at the state government level. All right, so I think one of the bright spots up until this week during this legislative session has been HB 10 or the Momnibus bill, which, you know, was a piece of legislation that did a lot to support mothers and kind of make access to services a lot easier from the state. But of course, the majority GOP legislature cannot let us have anything good. So the Senate, in the committee substitute that they had for HB 10, inserted provisions for perinatal palliative care, which requires hospitals to inform parents about options to prevent, you know, them from terminating pregnancies when their children are non-viable. I've told my story lots and lots of times, and you probably heard it before. I've been in that situation. I find the prospect of receiving perinatal palliative care absolutely disgusting. It makes me angry to see this sort of thing, especially the sort of thing inserted into a bill that had been very decent up until this. To add insult to injury, the provision was added without any warning, just hours before a committee hearing. And, you know, Cassie Chambers Armstrong, again, she ended up voting for the bill in committee, kind of out of ignorance. She didn't even know that the change had been made and wasn't aware of that when it passed. So ended up voting for it. And, you know, this is just par for the course for something that we've been talking about all session. The League of Women Voters released that report before the session started regarding how the GOP majority likes to operate kind of in the dark, using these sort of underhanded tactics in order to get, you know, these bills through, including, you know, filing and voting on committee substitutes without giving any semblance of reasonable time to read them, you know, doing the readings really quickly in an underhanded manner, all this kind of thing, and all of that has just continued to pace or even increased in utilization this session. So that certainly happened with HB 10 as well. The Kentucky Senate passed HB 388, which makes significant changes to Louisville's government. So we discussed this bill in the past. It makes Louisville's elections nonpartisan, is kind of the big thing that we had talked about before. But the Senate made a significant change to the bill. It froze zoning laws, which, you know, basically make building affording housing much more difficult. The freeze does. The freeze exists because it protects incumbent landowners, especially in like far out places in the city where we could build more affordable housing. That's the thing that they did. Another thing that they did was to slacken LMPD's disciplinary code. You know, even though the U.S. Attorney General's office has LMPD under a consent decree, but, you know, I guess we want to make it easier for cops to get out of disciplinary action. You know, Jason Nemes, who is the bill's sponsor, said that the House is likely to concur with the Senate's changes, so this is probably the way the bill will look, and Louisville's government will be significantly changed based on the votes of nobody who lives here. So that's really great for us. The state, you know, has this power to do this for whatever reason. You know, it's kind of interesting. We have a 10th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which basically protects the states from any sort of crazy intervention from the federal government, but we don't have any amendments that protect cities from states, and I would love for there to be kind of a 10th Amendment for cities, because we really need it, and a lot of the cities, especially cities in red states like, you know, Nashville or Birmingham or, you know, well, Atlanta's kind of in a blue state now, but, you know, Charlotte and you know, places like that could probably benefit from something like that. It's probably going to get worse in the near future. So there you go. The Kentucky Board of Education has selected Robbie Fletcher as the next Commissioner of Education, pending Senate approval. I don't know anything about Robbie Fletcher. I've done a very minimal amount of research into him, but there's some pieces of his resume that I think are a little bit interesting. He started his career in Martin County. Nothing wrong with Martin County, but it is one of Kentucky's most conservative counties. And then he worked for a while at Asbury University, which is the evangelical university there in Jessamine County that is got a lot of stuff that I don't really care for that goes on there. None of that is, you know, it's super bad. It's just, you know, yellow flags for me. I hope he's a good pick. I hope he does a good job. Again, none of the things that I see in his resume that I mentioned as problematic are necessarily bad things. It's just maybe something to look at or watch out for coming from an extremely conservative county where he was an administrator in the school system and then also teaching at one of the most conservative institutions in the state. So that's just something to think about. The budget, I actually think the budget has been partially released as I'm recording this, but the budget looks poised to receive a vote from the Senate on Thursday. So we are likely to see the final version of the budget, you know, I would say at least a few minutes before it gets voted on. Like I said, I think parts of it are being released now. I think I saw Derek Graham, who represents Frankfort and works at Kentucky State University, being frustrated with the way in which the Senate funded KSU. I don't know the details of that, but that was just something I saw. So I guess there is some of the budget that is out there now. So we'll know much, much more about the budget by this time next week when we record again. Those are kind of the major legislative pieces I wanted to talk about this week, in addition to what I had to say about the JCPS busing situation. And so that is it for this week. All right, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at My Old KY Pod. You can sign up for our occasional, not very often, newsletter at tinyletter.com/My Old Kentucky Newsletter. You can subscribe to our podcast at the podcasting app of your choice, and please join our Patreon for as little as a dollar a month. It really, really helps us out. Okay, everybody, I really appreciate you tuning in and listening in, and we will see you next week.